Go. Yeah, my wife has worked some of those things out of me to the best of her ability, but I have found new things. Amen? You must adapt to the situation and find new ways to challenge Demlos. Amen. Amen. Go to Mark chapter 1 this evening. I want to show you, this is actually ties in. The Lord taught me this morning in my devotion time, and I appreciated Brother Lang, all you had to say, and I have been following that as well, and Brother Lang's been a good friend, and Brother Demlo, since the get-go, we were all saved. I was just, brother, I didn't realize you were saved the same time frame. Was it February of 95? January, February, March. That was a good year, amen? And we're all here now, and we appreciate each other, and men who want to serve God, and the Lord, I think the Lord is definitely leading tonight in what he wants to accomplish. Because you guys just set me up perfectly for what's coming next, and I want to challenge you tonight. But before we jump to that, as a segue, in Mark chapter 1, in verse number 17, well, let's start in verse 16. Now, as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, "Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." And we can get excited if you have a desire to reach people. That's a glorious thing. It's a good thing if you have a righteous desire to reach people. But there's a key in here that I'm afraid that a lot of people miss. But he says, "Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." Too often, we're trying to do it without the Lord. Too often, we're just trying to be fishers of men, but we miss the key ingredient. He says, "Come ye after me." And what does it mean to go after the Lord? It means with the heart. And without him saying, I think Brother Lang was saying when he had that prayer in the radio station, is that in his heart, he wanted to follow after the Lord. He wanted to be used of God because his heart had a desire for God, not just for man. If our heart is just for man, it's going to fail us at some point. At some point, man will defeat you, man will discourage you or cause you to be depressed, or you're getting to the point where you don't even want to be around people if our focus is people. And I've learned that the hard way. But the Lord is teaching me, and he says it right here, "Come ye after me." My goal ought to be to go after the Lord. He'll never disappoint me. He'll never discourage me. He'll never make me to be depressed. If I go after the Lord, I'll never ever say, "Oh, I want to be away from the Lord." Amen. It'll always be the more I get closer to God, the more I'll say, "I want more." And so we go after the Lord, and in the process, the direct outcome of that is going to be that I want to reach people, and he'll show me and teach me how. He'll lead me to those people. He'll lead me to that people group that these men were describing, or that person, because I'm after him. And so what I like about this point in my spiritual growth is that God is making things simpler for me. You know, man wants to complicate things. And God's been teaching me in the last year, 2 years, just kind of bringing everything full circle and simplifying things. And God's given us one commandment, to love him. The second's like unto it, to love your neighbor as yourself. But let's just go after the first one, and the second will take care of itself. And let's seek after the Lord. We're too busy trying to do everything else but number one. And that's why things don't go well. That's why we're failing in the missions department. We're not after Christ like we ought to be. Let's pray, and tonight we're going to be going over, you can turn there if you want, John chapter 4. No, we will not be looking at verse 35 right away. We're going to look at some verses prior to John 4, verse 35. Many of you know that famous missions passage about lift up your eyes and look on the fields. We're not looking at that. I want you to see what is going on prior to that. He's dealing with the woman at the well, but that's not even what I'm going after tonight either. We're not talking about the woman at the well tonight, but rather what the Lord is trying to teach his disciples in the midst of that. "Come ye after me," the Lord says, "and I will make you to become." And so the Lord has these men. There's no doubt those 12 men, and of course we know what goes on with Judas Iscariot, but there's no doubt in my mind those 12 men are going after the Lord. They want to follow the Lord. And even Peter in his carnality wanted to follow the Lord, and God worked in his life to bring him to a state of really being used of God. But at least he had the desire to want to be used of God. At least he was after Christ. And that's what I want to challenge you tonight. We need to be after Christ, and he'll make us that. Some of us may lack a desire to be used of God in missions, or we may lack certain things. Our hearts aren't where we want it to be. All I have to say is this. Let's just go after one thing. Go after Christ, and He'll bring it all together. He'll show you. He'll convict you. He'll challenge you, and will all come to pass. But let's pray, and we'll be looking here at John chapter 4 as we go to the Lord. Father, we do ask that You would come and meet with us tonight, that You would continue in Your presence and continue in Your power to teach from Your Word. And Father, may each person be able to say, what if God wrought? Look what God has done in our spiritual growth. Look what God has done in making our mouths to be bold. But Lord, I believe it all started when our hearts were in pursuit of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, may that be the desire of our heart. Tonight, when we wake up tomorrow, even before that, when we go to sleep, throughout the day, may our hearts be in pursuit of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless our study, and Father, teach us from this passage. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. The Lord is dealing with the woman at the well, and you know that passage, and so we're not going to rehash all of that. But you get down to verse number 27, and upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot, and went her way into the city, and saith to the men, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out to the city of the city, and came unto him. Look at verse 31. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. And so here we have these two statements, verse 32, verse 34, that I want us to capitalize on, that I want us to think about tonight. When Jesus, I have meat to eat that you know not of. And he also says, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. And so we're going to be talking about meat tonight. Now, we just had a good meal of meat. Amen? I've enjoyed multiple moose meals. And even tonight, multiple moose meals. That was very delicious. And fish. And I enjoy both of those things. I enjoy eating. Anybody with me? Amen. And so the Lord is using the illustration of meat to give us a spiritual picture of something he's trying to teach these disciples. These disciples, they're going after Christ. They want to be like the Lord. They want to follow after him. And he says, I will make you to become fishers of men. In other words, he was working. Because they were going to come after him, he then would turn around and work in their hearts to make them like him, the ultimate fisher of men. And God wants to use you and me in that same way. And it's good for us to begin to see what God is showing, and that he wants us to be operating on a spiritual plane. Be thinking and functioning in the spiritual realm. One of the negatives to the Caucasoid people, and Brother Lang's understand when I say this, but one of the negatives to the Caucasoid, you know, the Europeans, and hence those in North America, a lot of North Americans, is that we're too intellectual for our own good. That we don't really believe in the potential of the spiritual realm, whether it be positive or negative, whether it be the spiritual light or spiritual darkness. But you go to places like Asia and Africa, and they believe in the spiritual realm. The Lord Jesus operated in the spiritual realm. He dealt with the spiritual realm. In fact, I've learned a lot about the spiritual realm from missionaries in Asia. Missionaries in Africa, how real it is and how there really is a spiritual realm. And if you're a Bible believer, then you believe in the spiritual realm. Because Jesus dealt with it. The Old Testament prophets dealt with the spiritual realm. But as Americans today, sometimes we just, well, I don't know about that. And he's kind of indicating, you know, well, that was then. You know, we don't. The spiritual world's really not real today because it's, you know, it's 2016 and we're in America. But it's real. The spiritual realm is real, and we've been lulled into thinking that it's just fictional or that it's just in Bible times, and that is to our own fault and to our own destruction, if you will, as God's people, if we fail to operate in the spiritual realm. we're too busy and we're too focused on the physical realm that we are missing out on a lot of what God would have us to do. We need to be engaged in the spiritual realm, and great things can happen for the cause of Christ when we get our minds, you know, the mindset, as I already mentioned, the mindset is key. Having a mind and therefore a heart for the spiritual realm is key. And we need to be involved in the spiritual realm. Consider me, first of all, living for the spiritual realm. In verse 31, it says, in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed to him, Master, eat. And so initially we see what's going on here is that the disciples have this focus and these thoughts on the physical realm. They were weary. They'd been journeying. They were tired. They went into the city to buy meat. They bring the meat out. And while that was going on, the Lord was dealing with this woman at the well. But they bring this meat out, and they're concerned. And this is a noble thing, amen. They're concerned about the Lord eating. You know, Lord, you need to eat some food. You need this food to give you strength so we can keep on with our journey. And I appreciate their concern. But is there something more important? Well, it's more important than food. Yeah, some may think that. Some may operate that way, right? And you watch some of these television shows, you'd think that food is the most important thing in the world. How it looks, how it tastes, how the texture of food, and so on and so forth. But the Lord is using this opportunity to teach these men that there's something more important. And so he says to them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. And so these very disciples need to learn something very important, and it's this, that there is something else besides the physical realm that you need to get involved with. There's a spiritual realm that we need to be focused on, and bouncing in and out of the physical becomes a necessary evil, but the spiritual is where I want to be. Instead of the physical is my life, and then once in a while I try to bounce in and out of the spiritual realm. And it takes faith. It takes believing the Word of God and what God says and experiencing it. It takes, as your pastor mentioned a while ago, it takes the loss of some things. It takes giving up some things so that I can enter into the spiritual realm and not be entangled with the things of this life. But the spiritual realm is where we ought to be. And so the Lord says, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Verse 33 says, therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? They don't get it, do they? They don't get what he's teaching them. He's like, oh, he has meat to eat that we don't have. Oh, someone's brought him food. Where are they? They're still on the physical plane. And you and I can be that way, right? I know I can be that way. The Lord's trying to teach me something, and I just don't get it. I'm missing the whole point. I'm thinking of things in the physical realm. I'm thinking of things on a physical plane when the Lord wants me to see what he's teaching me on the spiritual. You know, one of the problems that we face is that the physical realm can become too important to us. And one thing I've noticed in my short time in this world is the world seems to be giving us more and more things to do. Anybody with me? I mean, I look back to what my grandparents would describe back in the 30s and 40s and the 50s, the simple life when the man worked and mom stayed home with the kids and they had one car and dad worked 40 hours a week and he paid the bills and may not have had everything that we have today, but they had everything they needed and they had time. I tell you what, my number one enemy in life is time. My time is, especially when you hit that 40 mark and you go past that by a little ways, you realize, wait, life's half over. And the most precious commodity to me is time. I don't care about money. Money's money. Just green stuff you put in your wallet, right? But time, I can never get my time back. And so every day counts. Every week counts. Every month, every year counts to me. When I was 20, I didn't think that way. But when you get to be my age, you understand that. If you're older than me, you really understand that. And this world is, it just keeps raising the standard of what you have to do, and it robs us of our time, but perhaps even more so, it robs us of our thoughts, whereby our thoughts are continually on the physical. Simple living is no longer simple. It's hard. It's complex. Let me ask you a question. When you're driving down the road, and I've found out real quick that when you drive around here, you have plenty of thinking time, right? Because there's nothing close. Okay? So when you drive around here, what are you thinking about? You all do that, right? Anybody with me? You zone out, get around 55, 60 miles an hour, right? And you start zoning. Anybody with me? Good. What do you think about? What do you think about when you got a few minutes of free thinking time? What are you thinking about? And what you're thinking about in the free time is going to be a key indicator of what your heart is after. By default, in the subconscious, if you will, you begin to think about things. And sometimes there's too many things this world requires us to focus on. Now, don't get me wrong. Don't misunderstand me. We got to work. I get that. We have to work. We have to register the car. We have to have insurance. I mean, there are things I get we've got to give time and attention to. But that's not what I'm referring to tonight. It's more of the case of the extras. Beyond the necessities, sometimes we create necessities that God never intended us to have as necessities. Sometimes we engage in leisure activities that God never intended us to engage in, and therefore it robs us of our time. But again, more importantly, it robs us of our thoughts. It's amazing to me what God teaches me when I was working full time for the church and just having a whole morning hours available to study and just meditate and think. But as this world spins faster and faster, so to speak, I find I'm getting less of that, and I don't like that. Because in that think time, in that meditation time, in the time in the Word, is when God impresses me with thoughts. When God teaches me and shows me, hey, here's something you can do. Here's a person you need to go see and visit with or communicate with somehow. But sometimes there are physical things that become too important that we miss the main event of why we're here in the first place. To love God and to serve the Lord. Look with me to Matthew chapter 6. And here I love the wording in here because it defines the heart. In Matthew 6, you all know verse 33 about seek ye first. Verse 31 says of Matthew 6, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Notice that word there, seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And the key word in verse 33 is seek. Now everyone, especially the kids, you understand what hide and seek is, right? You know the difference, right? Hide and seek. And I always laughed when my especially my younger two, where is she? There she is. When they're younger and you're playing hide and seek and you're all excited because I'm 40 something years old and I can find a good hiding spot, right? I'm all proud because I can fake out a 7 or a 4 year old, you know. But you get a really good hiding spot, right? And they can't find you. And there are times where they've counted to 20 and they come in and they look for about, 14 seconds. Can't find them. Is that seeking? Is that really playing hide and seek? No, it ought to be the case where we give our all to find him and we won't give up until we do. That's what seeking is. But seek ye first. So the question is, what are you seeking in this life? June 1st today, amen? 48 hours, brother. We're there. Our birthdays, right? Oh, by the way, we found out who's older. I asked him. You'll find out on Friday who it is. I don't know. We ought to be seeking. What are you seeking? It's June 1st. 7 months left this year. 5 are gone. 7 to go. What are you seeking for the second half of this year? That's a good question, right? Between you and God, you don't have to tell me. I don't want to know. What are you seeking? What are your goals? I'm sure most people in this room are old enough to comprehend that they have a goal. They have an agenda. They have things that they want for this year. And you ask yourself, what's the number one thing? Or maybe you get the top three, the top five list, whatever it might be. Maybe you should go home and do that tonight. What are my goals? What am I seeking after? Because your goals are going to determine what you seek after. I mean, what drives you? Why do you get up in the morning after being up, as I have found it so easy to stay up to midnight around here? You know, after you stay up so late and get up so early, what causes you to get up? What motivates you? What's your goal? What's your focus? What are you going after this life? God wants to know, what are you seeking after? And God says the Gentiles, they seek after the food and the clothes. And don't get me wrong, you got to work to have those things. I get that. But it shouldn't be the focus and the seeking of your heart. It ought to be a necessary evil to us. I have to work so I can put food on the table, so I can clothe my family and pay for the mortgage or the rent. I have to do that, but it's not what I'm here for. It's not what I'm seeking after. What are you seeking in this life? What are you here for? What does God want me to be seeking? The Gentiles seek after those things, but God expects his people to be seeking, verse 33, after him, right? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. You seek after God and his kingdom. You seek after his righteousness, and God will take care of the rest of it. And part of that might require you to work a job, but if you're seeking after God and his kingdom and his righteousness, you'll realize that on the job is a great mission field. One of the men back in Fishkill, he works in an electric company, and he loves, he's been with the company about 25 years, 30 years, I forget how many years, and he always gets the young guys in the truck with him, and he thinks it's great. He's the senior man, and you know what? They listen to what he wants to listen to on the radio. And when it's lunch break, he opens the scriptures, and they get to listen. And he loves, we pray for these guys regularly for them to be saved and just a whole host of them that he witnesses to. And he considers his job his mission field. He has to work that job. He's got to provide for his family, but it's his mission field. But you know what we seek after depends on what your treasure is. Go back in the same chapter, in chapter 6, you know, it's interesting right here, same context. Back in verse 19, Jesus said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Every heart has a treasure. And depending on what kind of treasure you're after, will determine where your heart is. And where your heart is where your thoughts are going to be. And that determines what you seek after. What is it? What are you after? What is your treasure? By the way, anything that can be purchased with money has no value. You stop and think about it. And if what you're pursuing after, if what your thoughts are consumed by, if what you give your time and attention to has to be is somehow related to money, you're going after a vain thing. Because in 100 years from now, it won't matter. For many of us, 50 years from now, it won't matter. But how I invested my life for Christ, if my heart was after him or not, that will matter 50, 100 years from now. We need to take some inventory tonight and ask ourselves, where is my heart? Where is my mind? Am I in the spiritual realm? Do I want to be used of God to lay up treasures in heaven? Can I be used of God? And you know what's interesting is that when we truly engage in the spiritual realm, the physical realm doesn't matter to us anymore. I have found, I've spent many times in the Bronx. I actually learned this principle with Brother Job's father, Brother Ford. We spent a couple weeks with them in August of 2004 in Chicago. I had a great time. Wanted to learn from him how things work in a big city. And when I would, in the future, begin to work in the Bronx, great principles. But one of the things I remember with them is, hey, we'd eat breakfast and we'd get out there ministering, and oftentimes there wasn't time to stop for lunch. It's too much to do. We got to keep going. And he asked me, he said, brother, you have any problem if we don't stop for lunch? I said, that's fine, let's go. Because when I'm functioning, maybe you've experienced it as well, when I'm functioning in the spiritual realm, I don't care about the physical realm. It's a necessity. Taking a minute to stop to eat, it's a negative. It's almost like, you know, okay, if I have to, but if I don't, let's just keep going. I find that when I'm engaged in the spiritual realm, my lusts, they're practically not there. My pride's gone when I'm in the spiritual realm. There are countless times that I would spend 2 to 3 hours with a soul in my office or out in the street. Spend hours in the scriptures. I don't care about food. I don't care about drinking water. I don't care about any of that. I don't care about drinking coffee. That doesn't matter. And after spending time with people and they would leave, I would just be so humbled that God would use me in the spiritual things with an eternal soul. Never did I walk out of the office or leave this. Good job. Never. God, you use me. And by the way, in the spiritual realm, 3 hours is like 5 minutes. It just goes. It's so exciting. It's such a blessing. You know what's interesting? Look back in our text. Did you notice this? Nowhere, as far as I can read here, nowhere in this context does Jesus even get a glass of water. I don't think it even says that he got any. You know, he asked her for some, and they got into this conversation. And then his men come, and they want him to eat, and he hasn't, I don't think he's even had anything to drink. He hasn't had anything to eat, but he doesn't. He got meat to eat that you know not of. This doesn't matter to me. Even the woman, verse 28, then the woman left her water pot. She came to fill up her water pot, and she didn't even take it back. It didn't matter to her anymore. Why was she there? She was there to get water. She didn't care. Because she was brought into the spiritual realm, and the physical things didn't matter anymore. What are you living for? Now, missions isn't just about a conference once a year, nor is it about how many guys we're going to support and making sure we got the money. And you know, those things are fine. Those things are good. That's not what it's about. You know, missions about you and the Lord. Missions is about you being in pursuit of the Lord Jesus Christ so that you can be used of God as a fisher of men and enable those that are fishing for men as well. Because here's what the Lord is teaching. You know, we ought to be living in the spiritual realm, but there's meat. There's meat in the spiritual realm. He says, I have meat to eat, verse 32. I have meat to eat that you know not of. You know, what is it about physical meat that we like? And we could probably take interviews afterwards, right? What do you like about that moose? Bears. These guys went out for bear. I was hoping they would have got one because I want to try bear meat. I've never had bear meat. I don't know if the season closed, guys, but I'm hoping, pulling for you. Get us some bear meat. Oh, I can tell from Brother Chris, didn't happen. He's like, oh, embarrassment, you know. Why do we like meat? Well, meat satisfies, amen? Right? You eat some meat, and it satisfies your physical cravings. Meat sustains you. It gives you the ability to go on. It enables you to go forward. It strengthens you. You eat meat, and you are physically stronger. You grow. And spiritual meat, as the Lord is teaching us, spiritual meat is the same way. He says, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Spiritual meat, it'll satisfy you. It'll satisfy your heart. It'll satisfy the whole reason why God saved me. It'll satisfy. Hey, I'm in pursuit of Christ, and what he gives for me is going to satisfy me in my walk with him, in my witness for him. It satisfies. It also sustains me. Keeps me going. It keeps us going in the spiritual realm. You know, Isaiah 40, verse 31, wings as eagles, and Galatians and in Philippians, Paul is throughout the New Testament, Paul is describing how the spiritual meat keeps him going. Over there in 2 Corinthians 11, and Paul describes all the things that he went through. Well, what keeps you going? The meat. He says, Paul would say the same thing. I have meat to eat that you know not of, and God wants you to know of that meat. And so Christ gives us this example, and he does this very thing. In verse 34, Jesus said to them, my meat, okay? So he says, he told them, I have meat to eat. And now he's going to teach us what this meat is. He says in verse 34, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. There it is. This is what keeps Christ satisfied and sustains him and strengthens him. Paul, what satisfies you, Paul? What sustains you and strengthens you to do the will of him that sent me? What will keep a New Testament church satisfied? What will keep a New Testament church and sustain that church and keep it going and strengthen them to do the will of the Father that has sent us? Nothing else will. Nothing else will. It's the meat. It's the meat of missions. To do the will of him that sent me. Can you name for me any place in the scriptures where Christ was ever focused on himself? It's not there. Even Paul. I've tried to rack my brain. Can you think of any place in the Bible where Paul was in it for himself? I can't. These examples that we have is that their meat was to do the will of him that sent us and to finish his work. Not just to do it, but to finish it. There's a job to do and there's a job to be completed, and that will keep us going. And so this is the lesson for the disciples. He wants them to get focused on the physical realm. The spiritual realm, because when we're focused on the physical, we fail to see the spiritual. That's why he says in verse 35, say not ye there yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Guys, you're so focused on the physical realm, which is necessary, but it shouldn't be our focus. We have to attend to it, but it ought not be what we're seeking after. But rather, there's a whole spiritual realm that you need to be focused on. Because while you're getting me, there's a lady in the spiritual realm. And you're just wondering what was going on there. Guys, lift up your eyes. Look on the fields. We've got to get past the physical realm and be looking on the spiritual realm. We've got to get focused and seeking the things of the spiritual realm. As we close, let's ask this question. What is your meat? What satisfies you? What sustains you? What strengthens you? Are you in the physical realm or the spiritual realm? What are you living for? Are you living for food? Sports? Hobbies, television, entertainment. I mean, there's so many things that we could get focused on. I'm not even talking about sinful things. I'm just talking about things. Things in the physical realm. And then these are things that they're not even wrong. But is it what God wants us to be focused on? Is your meat to do the will of him that sends you? Is your meat to finish his work? Look at Mark chapter 8. And here's where the Lord just brings it to a head, and we'll close on this verse. What is your meat? Well, here's what's going to define it. Mark chapter number 8. And I tell you what, this was it's a hard thing for us to really swallow. But once we do, it'll be the best thing for us. Mark 8, verse 34, and when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, wait a minute, stop. Mark 1, 17, come after me, right? And I will make you to be fishers of men. There has to be, if missions is going to work, there has to be this pursuit, this seeking of Christ. Has to be. not even pursuing men, pursuing Christ so that we will pursue men, but with God's power, wisdom, and ability. There's got to be this pursuit of Christ. He says, if you're going to come after me, here's the problem. Let him deny himself. Oh, man, that hurts, doesn't it? Herein is the kingpin. It all hinges right here. Let him deny himself. I don't know about you, but that's what my flesh wrestles with. Every day, Paul Morrison's flesh wrestles with denying himself. But the Lord says this, take up his cross. Okay, what's a cross? The place of death. Paul said, I die daily. If I'm willing each day to die to self, then I'm in a position to follow after Christ. If I'm willing to deny myself, I can follow him. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Wouldn't it be a waste for a Christian to have spent 30, 40, 50, 60 years in this world in pursuit of the things of the world? I'm not even talking about sin. I'm just talking about the physical realm. And to go off into eternity with, praise the Lord, they're saved. But it was not a life in pursuit of Christ. Their meat was physical meat. They sought the things of the physical realm. Whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel, the same shall save. That's true with salvation, and it's true for the Christian. Verse 36, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And I get that's a salvation passage, but I believe the same principles still apply for us in the Christian life. And so if we're willing to deny ourselves and take up our cross, we're in a position to follow him. And when we're in a position to follow him, we follow after him. He will make me to become a fisher of men. My meat will be that in the spiritual realm. And I'm in a position to be used of God to fulfill his will and to finish the work as well. What's your meat? Jesus said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. And he wants his disciples to get a hold of that meat, which satisfies and sustains and strengthens. Our Father, we thank you for your example to us. The Lord Jesus Christ, our perfect example of one who is beyond the physical realm. And because he was willing to be in the spiritual realm, he was used of you to do your will, always about the Father's business, always doing what the Father said. And as a result, he finished the work you gave him to do. Father, I believe that you have a will and a work for each one of your children to do, and a will, collectively, a will for this New Testament church. Father, we start tonight by realigning what we are seeking, realigning the treasures of our heart, ready to forsake self and be in pursuit of the Lord, ready to take up our cross and follow. And Lord, we know that 50, 100 years from now, it'll be worth it all to see the Lord's face and to know that we've done what you've called us to do. It will be worth it all. Father, I pray your will for each heart here tonight, for this New Testament church. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.